thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve it. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Hallelujah. He's always thinking of you. Always thinking of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome today to this Sunday. We're so glad you can be with us. And we just pray that you are rejoicing in the Lord. Despite what you're going through, He's going to carry you through whatever it is that you're facing, because He is a faithful God and a faithful friend. We are going through a series called The Alphabet of God. And today, we want to just focus on something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about Jesus' words that He speaks to us regarding friendship. And we want to talk about Jesus being our friend. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being with us. We thank You that You watch over us. Thank You that You protect us. Thank You that You are in love with us with an everlasting love, that You never fail us, that You never give up on us. And Jesus, as we breach this topic, as we get into it, we pray that You would help us as the bread of life, that You would break open the Word of God, that You would make very clear and plain things to us maybe that we've never understood or seen before. We're relying upon You, Holy Spirit, to take over, to take charge. Lord, please touch hearts that are out there right now. Minister to individuals. Open up hearts, open up minds, open up understanding and everything else that is possible. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory and we'll give You all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Jesus had been walking with His disciples for 3 years, maybe a little bit more. And during that time, the disciples had seen many things. John 21, verse 25 records John saying that if I were to try to put down all the things that Jesus said, not even the world itself can contain all the books. There were so many things and so many revelations that the apostles had as they were walking with Jesus. The teachings that Jesus gave were incredible. They had never heard a rabbi speak like this man before. But after 3 years of following Jesus, there was something different that occurred. There was something that Jesus was going to impart to them regarding their relationship. And it probably dumbfounded them to a great degree. In John chapter 15, starting with verse 12, Jesus says this: "This is My commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Now, we've heard that verse before. And the next verse, too: "Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends." "You are My friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves or servants, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from My Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. So whatever you ask of My Father in My name, He will give it to you." Three times, if you go back and you look at that verse, and I pray your Bibles are open to John 15, you look at verse 13: "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, first part of it: "You are My friends if you do what I command you." Verse 14, the latter part: "I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from My Father, I have made known to you." This is the first time in 3 years that Jesus is giving revelation about the relationship that they have. Think about that for a second. You know, sometimes our walk with the Lord, we could say it gets a little muddy, the waters are a little shallow. Maybe we're not getting in and we're not sticking it through with Jesus. Maybe we're just going through with obligations and not really pressing into the Lord. These guys are following Jesus after 3 years, and this is the first time ever that they hear Jesus say, "You are My friends." What a revelation about this relationship. Yeah, they have this servant relationship still, but it's kind of like in the Old Testament when the servant wanted to willfully give himself over to the master, and there would be an owl that would be pierced through his ear as a reference to say, "I am yours, I want to devote myself to you." There's that servant relationship, but there's a love there too. Jesus is saying, "You are My friends." What is friends? Phileos. Philios, a friend, someone dearly loved or prized, cherished in a personal, intimate way, a trusted confidant, held dear in close bond of personal affection. You are my dearly loved ones. You are my cherished ones. You are the ones that I want to be very intimate with and very personal with. After 3 years, there's this revelation. Let me tell you something. Don't stop pressing into the Lord, because you never know when there's suddenly a revelation that God is going to download to you regarding your relationship with Him. Now, let me ask you, do you think, just for a second, that the disciples were a bit in awe when they heard Jesus utter these words, "You are my friends. You are my friends." Wow. Do you think maybe they were just a little taken back? I would think so. And why is that? Because there's only two people referred to in the Old Testament as a friend of God. You have Abraham, and then you have Moses. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, the Lord says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend." So we have Abraham, who is considered and referred to as the friend of God. And there's only one other person, and that was Moses. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." So here we have again this relationship. God is saying about Abraham, "He's my friend." God is talking about Moses, and when they're in prayer together, they're communing together face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. So were the disciples in awe over this? I really think so, because now you have in front of them God manifest in human form, and God manifest in the flesh, in a human body, is speaking to the disciples, and He is placing the disciples on the same level as Abraham and Moses. Think about that for a second. That is just incredible. "You are my friends," John 15, verse 9 through 17. Well, some may say, well, that's great for them. You know, that's really great that they had this really close, intimate relationship with Jesus. But what about us? Are we friends with God? Well, I want you to think about something. Abraham was considered the friend of God. And why? Because God spoke a word to him that he was going to do something. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him, or credited to him, or counted to him as righteousness. He was the father of faith, if you will. And he was a friend of God because he had faith in God, if you follow me. Okay? The Bible says that faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness, Romans 4, 9. And he is, quote, the father of all who believe, Romans chapter 4, verse 11. So Abraham was a friend of God because he had faith in God. He wasn't a friend of God because of the law and because he was living out the law and he was trying to do what was right. No. He believed God and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. And the Apostle Paul gives a comparison of who we are in Christ because of Abraham. Or let me just read Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, and then verses 27 through 29. "Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons and daughters of Abraham." So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." When we believe, and that believing is a wholehearted entrusting of our body, our soul, our spirit, our future, our life, our past, our present, our future, everything into the Lord's hands. Belief is totally giving oneself over to the Lord. "Be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons and daughters of Abraham. For all who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." So because we believe and because we have faith, just as Abraham believed and was a friend of God, those of us who believe in the finished work of Calvary and what Christ has done on the cross, those of us who have yielded our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit unto the Lord, have given ourselves completely, and we trust in the Lord, we are friends in of Christ because of faith in Christ. Okay? We are friends of Christ because of faith in Christ. Amen? So you are God's friends because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of friend do we have in Jesus? I just want to cover a few of these things. Number one, he's a friend who initiates friendship. Jesus initiates friendship. Many, many years ago, my next door neighbor, John, and I would go into the garage and we would be playing songs. He had a guitar, I had drums, and we would shut the door in the garage, and hours on end, we just would play music and play music and play music. One day, we were in the garage, the door was shut, it was hot, and I see these bicycles coming up the driveway, and there's these kids that are looking in the garage window. And they're like knocking, we go over there, we open up the door, and it's these kids from across the, well, the other street. And they wanted to start a band. They really loved what they were hearing. They told us that every day they drive by on their bicycles and they were listening to us. And they said, well, what do you think about maybe the possibility of, you know, getting together and maybe starting a band? And that started a friendship, but they initiated that friendship. If it had not been for those guys who I'm still in love with so much today, passionately to this very day, and I don't see them as much. I wish I did. But I have one that I'm in touch with, but I just love them to death. And that's how it all started. This friendship started because they initiated it. They came to that glass window in the garage and they started this whole thing. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus and the righteous. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose friends carefully. Listen to that again. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully. That's the NIV version. And why is it that they have to choose and why we have to choose our friends carefully? Well, Paul brings it out in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character or morals. You have to watch out who you're friends with. And I know I've said this before and I'll say it again, but my friend Michael Francis says, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We have to watch out. We have to be careful. We have to choose wisely who our friends are. That's what Proverbs tells us to do. The righteous choose their friends carefully because you don't want to get entangled with individuals that are going to bring you somewhere. And it's the same thing with Jesus. You see, he initiated the relationship, the friendship. In John chapter 15, verse 16, the first part, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Wow. Think about that for a moment. According to his goodwill, according to God's pleasure, he handpicked you and he handpicked me to be his friends. Think about that. And why? If you have a piece of paper, write this down. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Listen to why Jesus chose them, why he chooses us. Jesus, it says, went up to a mountain and summoned or called those who he himself wanted. Who he himself wanted. Beloved, I want you to know today that you're wanted. As a friend of Jesus, you're wanted. You're accepted. You're beloved. You're cherished. You're prized. He wants you. That's why he's called you to himself. That's very precious. And they came to him. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 3. And he appointed 12, listen, so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. Why does God initiate friendship? Because he wants intimate fellowship with you. He appointed them. He called them. Why? So that they would be with him. Our God longs to have a relationship with you, a deep, abiding relationship. He wants to be your best friend.
He wants to be the one that you lean on. He wants to be the one that you can trust in at all times. He says, do not fear, I am with you. Don't worry. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Be anxious for nothing, not one single thing, but in all things, your friend, God Almighty, who calls you his friend, the intimate one, is saying, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Stop and just rest. I'm here. Lean on me as your friend. He wants fellowship with you. He created you for fellowship, and he created us for fellowship. Just go back and read the Bible in the beginning with Adam and Eve. It was just Adam and God in the beginning, friends. Hallelujah. So God is so very taking the initiative in this. But you know, he is utterly our immortal and invested friend. There's a show I kind of watch every once in a while. It's a docudrama from Discovery called Moonshiners. Yeah, I know. But anyway, there's this guy that was two guys, actually, Steve and Ray Tickle and Tim Smith. Tim Smith is an older gentleman. Steve and Ray Tickle is just basically, he's a bad boy, and he's gotten into a lot of trouble. And Tim was trying to get a distillery that was legit. And Steven didn't want to go that route, so he decided to go do other things that were moonshining, which was illegal. And then he found himself in some trouble. And who was there? Tim. Tim was there, helped him out, pulled him out, got him out of jail. And Steven just went on doing his own thing. He got in more trouble. And who was there? Well, Tim was there. Tim was there again. One time he came there 5:30 in the morning when he was getting released out of jail after being there for 6 months. Tim brought him home. Tim fed him, Tim clothed him. Tim got him involved in this legitimate business that he now had. And what happened? Stephen went out and he got messed up and he got into a car accident and he got into jail again. And who was there at the court? Tim, constantly. This guy never gave up on his friend. Never gave up, even when he went to jail a third time. He said, I don't know how long he's going to be there, maybe 3 or 4 years, but I'm not giving up on him. I'm going to be there right with him. That's the kind of friend we have in Jesus. He never, ever fails us. He never lets us go. He is our immortal and invested friend. He is not going to give up on you. He is not going to stop loving you. He is never, ever, ever going to fail you. He is never going to leave you in the lurch, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. Even if you're in a hospital bed, he's right there beside you. If you're all alone in your home, he's right there beside you. He is the friend that is invested in you. One of my favorite passages in all the scriptures is John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now therefore, when the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he was going to depart out of this world to his Father, and it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end. Some translate it eternally. Some translate it utterly. Some translate it wholly. I translate it through it all, through it all, through it all, through it all, through it all. When you're up, he's going to love you. When you're down, he's going to love you. When you're in the valleys, he's going to love you. He's going to be the friend that never gives. He's going to continue to love you no matter what. His love is everlasting. It's eternal. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're going through persecution or trials, heartaches, whatever it is. God is not going to leave you. This is a friend that sticks closer than any brother, any relative at all. He is going to stand by you. I love how Charles Stanley kind of outlined a friend. He said, a friend is a treasure, one who loves you as you are, one who sees not only what you are, but what you can become, one who's there to catch you when you fall, one with whom you can share your everyday experiences, one who accepts your worst but helps you become your best, someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you today just the way you are. And I love this. A friend is someone who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Hallelujah. There is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother, and that friend is Jesus Christ. You can rely upon him. you can trust him. He is our immortal and invested friend. He's unswerving, not veering or turning aside. He is constant. He is a steady friend. He is not going to deviate. He's not going to yield. He's not going to stray from you. Hallelujah. He is a dependable friend, a reliable friend, a loyal friend. Jesus is our faithful friend who will never leave us or forsake us. And another best thing, a friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17 says, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, you never stop loving me through it all, through it all. Can somebody say, through it all? And Jesus also, number three, is an influential friend. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Or as the Amplified says, as iron sharpens iron, no man sharpens an influence, or so one man sharpens and influences another through discussions. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. It's amazing, but if you get into the Word of God from chapter 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, there's revelation that is coming out, revelation about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is downloading information to his friends. You see, that's what it is, disclosure. God wants to disclose things to you through the Word of God, but you need to get into the Word of God to hear your friends speaking to you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to advise you. He wants to set you on the right course. But if you don't get into the Word of God, then you won't hear or be influenced by your friend. This is the influencer. The Holy Spirit will help you and guide you into all truth if you will allow him to do so. And Jesus, your immortal friend, your friend who wants to be influential too, wants to steer you on the right course. He wants to enlighten the path before you. He will guide you into all truth. You see, many people think, Jesus just tells me what I want to hear. No, no. Jesus also needs to tell you what you need to hear, okay? It's not just what we want to hear, but what we need to hear at times as well. And this is why it's so important to get into the Word of God. I don't know about you, but if you want to be sharpened, if you want to have influence, Holy Spirit influence, you need to get into the Word of God. He wants to talk to you. Amen? For Jesus is an illustrative friend. John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus not only spoke the word, he illustrated the word. He went to the cross to die for you and for me. He bore our sins upon his body. He took upon himself our griefs and our sorrows. All things that really the wrath of God that was supposed to come down upon us was laid upon him. He became a curse so that we could become the righteousness of God. Think about that exchange. Jesus not only gave words, but he gave a wisdom and ways, and he displayed what he declared. He went to that cross and he died for us. I'm sure some who were standing by the cross, maybe even John, after hearing all of these words, looking upon Jesus, looked at him and said, my friend died for me today. My friend died for me today. Child of God, your friend died for you 2,000 years ago on that cross. Your friend went to the cross to take your place. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And what is the result of that? I love how Colossians, Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And now because of what he did, I'm forgiven. God canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto Jesus' cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Hallelujah. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in the procession of triumph. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Our friend went to the cross, and because he went to the cross to die for us, hallelujah, every legal violation was canceled out. Glory to God. Every old arrest warrant, everything that stood to indict us, canceled out. God erased it all, hallelujah. Our sins were erased, hallelujah. Our stained soul cleansed. He deleted all the garbage, and that cannot be retrieved. This is all because of our friend who went to the cross for us. Oh, my goodness. An illustrative friend. And let me just close with this. He's an incomparable friend. Think about that. No, there's no other person like Jesus. There is no other friend like Jesus. He is unique. When religious leaders saw Jesus, they looked at him and they said, a friend of publicans and sinners. That's how they saw Jesus. That's how we ought to see Jesus too. A friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus reached out to the harlots. He went to single moms. He touched the lepers, something ceremonial, unclean, that you were not supposed to do. He reached out and he touched those that are unlovable. He became a friend to the friendless. He became a friend to the underdog. He went to people's homes and he called them out of trees and said, listen, I want to have a meal with you. People who were considered sinners. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Incomparable to anyone else. There is no one like Jesus. No friend like Jesus. No one is going to love you like Jesus. No one who knows you like Jesus. No one is going to stand by your side like your friend Jesus. Never, ever, ever are you going to find anyone. It's no wonder that the Bible says that the common folk heard him gladly. Common people heard him gladly. Oh, thank God for this great God who condescended, who came down to earth to fellowship with sinners like you and me. Incomparable friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise thee and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright glory, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus as your personal friend? Have you heard him speak to you and say, you are my friends? You know, it's so difficult in this world to trust individuals because we've had so many relationships and so many individuals who have called us friends only to stab us in the back later on and leave us, forsake us. There's been some toxic friends that we've had in the past. But let me tell you something. Don't let that dissuade you from being the friend of Jesus. He is not like anyone else. He's incomparable. He is a friend that's going to stick closer to you than no one else. See, he initiates the friendship. And he tells you, listen, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. He won't delete your account. If you send a friend request to Jesus, he'll accept. Do you know him as your immortal and invested friend? One who has unreliable friends soon comes to an end, But Proverbs 18, verse 24, there is a friend who sticks closer than any brother. Do you know his influence on your life as a friend? He wants to sharpen you. You need to get into the Word of God. Have you witnessed how he illustrated his friendship towards you? Greater love has no one than this, that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Even when we are at enmity with God, Jesus still went to the cross to display and show and illustrate his love. The beautiful thing about this Savior is if you do want to know him, he is an invitational friend. He invites you to become his friend. He says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Today he is sending you a friend request. And the question is, will you accept it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for friendship. Thank you that you love us so much that you say you are my friends. Thank you that you are the one who says that you are my close confidants. You are the ones that I want to associate with. Why? So that you can be with me. Lord, help us to be a great friend to you. Help us by faith, Lord God, to hear the words, Lord God, well done, thou good and faithful servant, friend. Thank you, Lord God, that we offer our bodies unto you right now. We ask you to come. We ask you to live your life in us and through us. We yield our members unto you. We surrender all that we have to you. We ask you to take absolute control. Lord, help us to be a friend to you like you are a friend to us. Help us to love you in the same way that you love us. Help us to give our all to you like you gave your all to us. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and the Lord grant you shalom in Yeshua HaMashiach in Jesus' name. We love you all. God willing, see you next Sunday in person at church. Love you all. God bless.